Well, good morning. It is good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And I don't know why you guys complain about the weather here all the time. I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt. I mean, come on. It's beautiful today. 50 degrees. If the sun comes out, I get some suntan lotion out. And, you know, all the Luther kids will be probably jogging in their shorts and t-shirts today. Because that's how they are, right? They're out there jogging. I hope that you're having a good Sunday and just enjoying the day so far. And I'm excited about this series, Fear Not. I really like today's message, and I just hope that it hits home and impacts you where you're at today in your life and your walk with the Lord. We are in the middle of a three-week series entitled Fear Not. And angels appeared in the birth story three different times. And each time they said, fear not or do not be afraid. And last week we asked the question, why are we afraid of what God has planned for us in our lives? Why do we sometimes fear what God might have planned for us in our lives? And we gave two reasons. We said, first, God's interruptions are often inconvenient. God interrupts our lives, and we think we want to go this way, or we have things planned out this way, and God interrupts us and sometimes takes us in a totally different direction. And those are often divine appointments in which God wants to do something in our lives. The second thing we said is that God's purposes, His purposes, are often different than our plans. His purposes are different than our plans. And I believe that God wants to do something new and special and different in every one of our lives. I really believe that. And He's calling us to serve Him, to worship Him, to live for Him. And I believe God wants to do something new and different in your life. I would say the problem is we often shake it off. We often shake off what God wants to do. God may be prompting us by His Spirit to do something, to serve somewhere, to talk to someone, to invite someone to church, and we just shake it off. And what I want you to remember is this: outcome is His responsibility, obedience is ours. Outcome is His responsibility, obedience is ours. And so I pray, Lord, help us to be obedient to what You've called us to do. So that's a little summary of last week's message, if you weren't here last week. Today, I want to talk about how do we overcome our fear of what people think of us? How do we overcome our fear of what people think about us? And I would start with a few questions, and maybe sometimes we say things like, do you like the car I drive? Do you like the clothes I wear? Do I fit in? Am I funny? Am I funny? Do you like my Instagram selfie? Does it look like I have two chins? Or my favorite question to Monica is, do I look big in this shirt? Can you see my muscles? Yes, I am vain. You know, we can become so easily obsessed with what other people think about us. We can. And I don't know about you, but I tend to be overly sensitive. I need to develop thicker skin. I want to be liked by people. I don't like when I'm not liked. However, as a leader, there are always going to be people who don't like me. Reminds me of a Seinfeld episode where Jerry's mom was coming to visit him, and Jerry said, that guy, he just doesn't like me. And his mom said, how could anyone not like you? Right? And it's true. There are going to be people who don't like you, that don't like me, and that's going to happen. And so in this week's story, we're going to look at Joseph as he battles with and struggles with the opinions of others. And he's going to have to make a choice between doing what's easy and doing what's right, between doing what people would want him to do and between doing what God would want him to do. So let's set the context for this story once again. Most of you know the story, the birth story, but let's just kind of quickly review it. Joseph is engaged to be married to a young teenage girl named Mary. An engagement was a binding agreement, and you would be engaged for a year's time. And to break the engagement, let's say you wanted to break it off or break up, you actually had to file for a divorce. Right? That's how serious it was. You actually had to file for a divorce. So let's pick up the story there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, as we put the scripture there up on the screen. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, imagine Mary sitting down with Joseph explaining this. I'm pregnant, and by the way, the good news is it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. If I'm Joseph, I would have been saying, how long did it take you to come up with that story? I mean, I saw the way that guy was checking you out at the well over there, right? I mean, come on, where did you come up with that story? From a human perspective, Joseph could have said, this girl, she's either crazy or she's a liar, right? He could have said, you know, what are people going to say if I stay with this girl? Because to be pregnant out of wedlock was a sin punishable by death, by stoning. And from his perspective, he's going to be marked for this for the rest of his life. If he got her pregnant or someone else got her pregnant, he's going to have a hard time finding a job. And if he divorces her, no father is going to want to bless his daughter to be married to him. In fact, he might even have a hard time bringing his donkey in for an oil change, okay? He's going to be marked for the rest of his life. So what does he decide to do? He decides to bail on her. Let's continue on in Matthew 1:19. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now, the way he was going about doing this was an honorable way. It was an honorable way, the way he went about doing this. What are we going to see? What are we going to learn? What's Joseph going to learn from this experience moving forward? He's going to learn a few things, and one of the key points there in your bulletin for those of you taking notes on the back is this. Pleasing God often means disappointing people. Pleasing God often means disappointing people. If you want to obey God, there will be many times when people will not agree and they will not understand. If you want to obey God, there will be many times when people will not agree and they will not understand. In fact, let's continue on here in the story in verses 20 and 21. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, at this point, I imagine Joseph's mind had to be swinging on a pendulum. Because for centuries, it's been predicted that a Messiah is coming. And now all of a sudden, an angel appears and says, you get to be a part of this. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. I get to be a part of this? Whoa, what are people going to say? What are they going to think? On the other hand, I might get to possibly have a part in changing the world. But I have no idea how difficult this is going to be. I mean, everyone is going to tell me to run from this girl for your life, to run for your life from this girl. I mean, she deserves to be put to death by stoning. On the other hand, I want to please God. I believe this is what God is telling me to do. Do you see this tension, this struggle, this war going on back and forth? You will be confronted with opportunities to obey God in life. You're going to be confronted over the course of your life with opportunities to obey God or to do something easier to win the approval of people. It happens all the time. Those are going to come up and pop up in your job, in your life, in your family, and you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to do what's pleasing to God or what would be easier to win the approval of people? Now you may say, why does this matter so much? Why is this so important? Well, I'll tell you why. Here it is. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. You know, the reality is this. We drift toward wanting to please people. That is our natural tendency. We just kind of drift in that area. What do you think of me? What do you think of me? Do I fit in? Do I measure up? Am I cool? Right? Do you like what I'm doing here at the church? Do you like what I'm doing? The other day I was talking with my wife, Monica, and she said to me, well, when can you ever say no to someone at church? Because every time you attempt to say no or we're not going to do that or put your foot down, somebody is hurt or offended. So when can you ever say no? I said, that's a great question. Can I be a part of your club? Can we be friends? Here's the thing. Suddenly, without meaning to, we surrender our lives to the opinions of others. Suddenly, without meaning to, we surrender our lives to the opinions of others, and it's at the expense of actually living to please God. And you may say, well, how do you change that? Well, you need to flip it. Flip that saying. Let's look at it one more time and flip it. Becoming obsessed with what God thinks about you is the quickest way to forget what people think about you. Becoming obsessed with what God thinks about you is the quickest way to forget what people think about you. Live for an audience of one. You know, before I get up here, I always pray a few things. Number one, I always feel weak, and I always pray that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 there where Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. And I always pray that what Paul tells Timothy to preach with integrity, with seriousness and soundness of speech. I always pray, Lord, help me to do that today. And then the last thing I always pray is, Lord, help me to do this for an audience of one. May I not care what other people think about me today or what they say, if the message was good or the message was bad. Help me to do this for you for an audience of one. God, I want to please you in everything I do. And here's the bottom line. We can't, what? You've heard this before. We can't please everyone. We can't please everyone. Do you like my hair? Right? One group will say, yeah, your hair looks good. Another group will say, oh, your hair, that makes you look ugly the way you have your hair. Right? How about this one? I like this kind of music. Do I fit in? Yes, you do. No, you don't. If I like this political party, do I fit in? Or how about if I stand in the middle? Well, then what? Nobody will like you, all right? No matter how hard you try, you cannot please everyone, but you can please God. No matter how hard you try, you can't please everyone, but you can please God. So here's the question. How do we live for God instead of for people? How do we live for God instead of for people? First, if you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by God. Wow. Right, that should wake somebody up this morning. Right? If you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by God. I want you to think of all the ways Mary and Joseph would be criticized. Think about that for a moment. All the ways they would be criticized. Did you know that's not really Joseph's baby? They say it was by the Holy Spirit, but I saw his donkey parked outside her apartment at 2 a.m. I did, right? Maybe you're a college student, a teenager, maybe you're a young adult, and you're saying, you know what? I'm going to leave the party lifestyle behind. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to serve Christ. I'm not going to get drunk anymore. And your party friends, they're going to say, what are you doing, religious freako? Is that even a word? What are you doing? You may say, you know, no matter what I did in the past, from this day forward, I'm going to honor God with sexual purity. And your friend is going to say, what? Do you know what year we live in? Do you know what you're missing out on? Maybe all your friends are going to go on spring break or somewhere for Christmas, warm, right? Some of you go north. I don't know why. But that's where I would go, somewhere warm. But you know, they're going to be going on some trip somewhere, and maybe you decide, I'm going to go on a mission trip. And your friends are going to say, why would you spend your money on that? And they're going to make fun of you. You may leave a high-paying job for a low-paying job. Why? Because you want to do something that actually contributes to society. You believe you can do something that will make a difference. And someone's going to say to you, why would you do that? Life is all about money, right? It's all about making money. You may stay at a high-paying job and live beneath your means. Why would you do that? Because you want to give generously and sacrificially to make a difference. And someone is going to say to you, why don't you blow it all out on yourself and travel? And you're going to say, because this is what God is calling me to do. Here's a fact in the Christian life. A fact in the Christian life. The more you do, the more pain you'll experience. The more you do, the more pain you'll experience. If you really want to make a difference in this world, you really want to make a difference in this world, you'll endure more pain than those who don't. You will endure more pain than those who don't. If you want to live a life where no one criticizes you, then you need to do these things. Stand for nothing, do nothing, and have nothing. If you want to live a life where no one ever criticizes you, do nothing, stand for nothing, and have nothing. I'd rather do something significant and have people shoot at me. anything significant that we do as individuals or as a church will be met with criticism. It just will be. Anything you do as an individual that is significant, it's going to be met with criticism. You may decide for a time or season in your life to work more hours. And so somebody's going to say, well, man, he or she, they're a workaholic. All they do is work, and they don't have any time for their family, and look at what they're doing. Look at this. Or you may decide, you know what? I'm going to take some time off to be with my family. Well, he's not involved, or she's not committed, right? You're going to hear it from all angles, no matter what you do. So, how do you live for God instead of for people? How do you live for God instead of for people? Realize that you're going to be criticized, right? It's going to happen for your obedience to God. Second thing, extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. The Savior of the world was born to two teenagers who said yes to God. Think about that for a moment. The Savior of the world, born to two teenagers who said yes to God. They didn't have any instructions. I mean, how do you raise the Son of God? Think about that for a moment. How do you discipline the Son of God? Right? Do you send him to time out? Well, wait a second. He's perfect. Maybe he'll give us a spanking. You know? I think there are times that we say, God, show me the details. And God says, you can't handle the details. If I showed you everything I was going to do, you wouldn't take the first step. Mary and Joseph, they didn't know any details. Listen, we don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. We don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. In other words, we don't have to see the whole picture to put the first piece of the puzzle in place. You have no idea what you set into motion when you simply obey what God has put in your heart. That's what this message is all about today. What is God putting in your heart? What is God telling you to do? There are going to be all kinds of people telling you what you cannot do, right? And what they think is best for you. But what is God telling you to do? You have no idea what you set into motion when you simply obey what God has put in your heart. Monica's working with the children today, and she was in here this morning. I think she'd say amen. And then she'd say, you need to practice what you preach. Because it'll be amazing. So many times I'll let something aggravate me, frustrate me, and I'll, you know, consult my pastor friends, what about this? And I don't know how many times Monica will say to me, well, have you asked the Lord? Have you asked the Lord? Have you sought him in prayer? You need to go in your room and shut the door and spend some time alone with him and ask him to give you direction. You know, Monica and I had no idea what we set in motion when we left Tennessee to come here. The leading of people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, that God would allow us to be part of something he was doing here. You have no idea what you set into motion when you invite someone to church. You have no idea what you set into motion when you begin to serve here and who you impact by a smile or a handshake or a hug or a phone call or a card. You have no idea what that sets into motion. This past week, Monica got a call from a lady, and she was going through some rough times, and Monica had been calling her and checking on her, and the lady just was not returning her call, and she was able to kind of make it through those times, and she said, you know those times that you called and I didn't call, I just want you to know I knew that you cared, and that made all the difference in the world. And Monica kind of just broke down and cried in the kitchen. She said, I had no idea. I had no idea, right, what I set into motion just by a simple call. I just thought, I'm just useless here. I'm not helping. I'm not doing anything. Right. You might decide to tithe. You might decide to tithe, and years later, when you look back on it, you say, when I took that step of obedience to be obedient to God and to His Word and to tithe, I can't believe how God changed our finances as a family. Or you might decide to foster or adopt, and you're not going to know all the details. But you just take one step at a time. And years later, you may look back and say, wow, I can't believe how He changed the life of this one child. Praise God. So Joseph is in this kind of predicament, so to speak. You know, if I do this, I'm going to be marked for the rest of my life. And what are people going to say? What are people going to think? And how am I going to live in this town? What am I going to do? And so what does Joseph decide to do? Let's continue on in the story. Matthew 1:24. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. That's a great verse, right? You know, there's a verse in James, I love it, says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. It's amazing how I can deceive myself, right? I can listen to the word, I can read the word, and I can go outside these doors and I can so deceive myself and do the exact opposite of what I just taught, what I just read. If I could just do it. That's exactly what Joseph does. He did what the angel Lord commanded. And so, what is the Lord prompting you to do? What is He prompting you to do in your marriage, in your workplace, in the home, in this community, maybe in this church? What is He laying upon your heart? And my prayer is that whatever it is, you would do it. You would step out in faith, and you're not going to see everything clearly. Because what? If He showed you everything clearly, you might not step out in faith. But you just take one step at a time and say, you know what? I don't know all the details. I don't know how the outcome of this. I don't know what's going to happen. But I just believe God wants me to do this, and I'm going to start, and I'm going to be obedient to what He's calling and asking me to do. Who's someone in the Bible who was obedient? Well, there's lots of examples, but as I've been reading through the Old Testament, I was thinking about Esther. That's such a cool book if you haven't read that story. It's so neat, the book of Esther. You know, here's King Xerxes, and he is looking for a queen, and he finds Esther, a woman of great beauty. And so she becomes the queen. And there's something you need to know about Esther. Both of her parents had died. And so she was raised by her cousin Mordecai. And Mordecai, being a Jew and them being of Jewish descent, said, hey, Esther, here's one thing you need to know. I don't want you to tell anyone your nationality or your family background. Perhaps he wanted to protect her from undue harm. Well, one day, King Xerxes promotes one of his nobles, and his name is Haman. And now all the king's officials bow down to Haman to show him respect when he comes into their presence. But not Mordecai. Mordecai will not bow down to Haman. And this made Haman furious. It made him mad that Haman wouldn't bow down and show him respect. And so Haman had the king issue a decree. And the decree was this: on such and such a day, all the Jews will be annihilated. And so Mordecai has something to say to Esther, who is the queen. Here's the pinnacle of the story, the high point. Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther: "Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you are made queen for what? Such a time as this. Who knows perhaps if you were made queen for such a time as this?" Now you may say, why did you tell us this story? Because who knows if you weren't meant to step out in faith at such a time as this in your life and in your situation. Remember this. Outcome is his responsibility. How it turns out, you just leave that and put that in God's hands, right? God, I believe you're calling me to go to grad school, or I believe you're calling me to go there, or I believe you're calling me to do this in my life and my marriage, right? How it turns out, you say, God, that's your outcome, right? Obedience is our outcome, right? Outcome is your responsibility. Obedience is our responsibility. Now, maybe you're here today and you say, Ed, I've been living my life for myself. And I know that I haven't done what he's asked me to do. I know that I've strayed from him and from his word, from his people and from his house. And maybe you're here and you say, Ed, I don't know Jesus. I've been living in the crowd. I've been living in the party crowd, the party scene. I've been living in this world and living for myself. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life from this day forward. In a minute, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer to help aid you in that process, that you may ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins, that you may ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you say, Ed, I know exactly what God is prompting me to do right now, but it's just hard. It's hard to be obedient to what he's asking. I need to have a tough conversation today. Maybe with a family member, maybe with a coworker. I know, right? Maybe with a spouse, maybe with something with my future. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm scared. I'm afraid. I don't know the details. I don't know how it's going to turn out, right? And all these excuses Satan's going to throw in your mind. Well, you don't have the money, and you can't do this. You don't have the options, or you know, and you're going to, but what is God prompting you to do? Right? Maybe something with your business. Like God's saying, you need to change this about your business. It's too much. And you're like, well, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills if we don't do it this way. And God's saying, this is what I want you to do. Trust me. Trust me. And so in a minute, we're going to pray for you that you'd be obedient to what God's calling you to do in your life, your family, your business, your career, in the church, whatever it is. And with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we do thank you for your word today. It's challenging, and sometimes it steps all over our toes, and quite frankly, we don't like it. I don't like it. Sometimes it hurts our feelings, and quite frankly, your word can offend us at times because it brings to light areas where we may have surrendered without meaning to the opinions of others, knowing it was easier to win the people's approval than your approval. Lord, I pray for those specifically today that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here and you'd say, yeah, I know I've been disobedient. I know I'm not living and doing what God would want me to do and have me to do and is calling me to do. In fact, Ed, if I were to be real honest, I've never asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins. I've never asked him to be my Lord and my Savior. I've always been kind of on my own and my own boss, so to speak. But I want to lay that down today. I've tried to fit in, and I've tried to blend in, but I realize that I don't belong to this world any more than you belong to this world. And I want to give you my heart today. And you're not going to know everything there is to know today. That's what stepping out in faith is. You may say, I don't even know exactly what that means. I just know I want it. Well, that's the first step. And so if that's you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd say, Ed, I want Jesus. Then I would just ask you to softly and quietly repeat these words in your heart after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but there's some areas that I just have a hard time being obedient. I have a hard time doing what your word says I should do. Maybe it's in the area of lust or immorality. Maybe it's in the area of alcohol. Maybe it's a business thing, a family thing, a marriage thing. You know God is calling you to do something, and you're like, I see it, I hear it, I've seen it in his word. Maybe it's in the area of tithing. Maybe it's in the area of living together, and you're like, I know this is what I should do, but I'm not doing it. Help me to follow in Joseph's footsteps. When the angel of the Lord told him, he did what the angel commanded him to do, what the Lord commanded him to do. Lord, I pray that you give my brothers and sisters the courage and the strength to do what you are calling them to do right now, to be obedient to what you've laid on their heart. Help them, Lord Jesus. Help me. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name.